Good evening, everyone. My name is Terry Whale, and I'm calling tonight from Scottsdale, Arizona, and I'd like to welcome you to this call, which is going to be diverse because I've got all kinds of questions here to answer from you, and I'm very grateful for your questions and look forward to giving you some answers, at least from my perspective on publishing. If you don't know just a hair about me, I've been in publishing about 20, 25 years. I started out in linguistics, doing language work, majored in journalism in college, went into linguistics for about 10 years, came back to my publishing about 20, 25 years ago, started writing for magazines. Had my first book published in 1992 as a little children's book that I did for David C. Cook called When I Grow Up, I Can Go Anywhere for Jesus. Since then, I've written more than 60 books, all kinds of books. I've co-authored books. I've done biographies. I've done Bible studies. I've done self-help books, all kinds of things that I've written over the years. I've also continued to write for magazines. I started out writing for magazines, and I've written for more than 50 publications. I've been a magazine editor. I was an associate editor at Decision Magazine, part of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I freelanced for a number of years, worked at a .com, Christianity.com. I was one of the last 45 employees of that company a few years ago. I have been an acquisitions editor. I was an acquisitions editor at Cook for a couple years, David C. Cook. I also was a fiction acquisitions editor at Howard Books. In addition, I was a literary agent for a couple years. For the last 3 years, I've been with Intermedia Publishing Group. I'm a vice president publisher with them, and we are in the subsidy category. Have a number of questions about self-publishing, and I'm eager to help you answer some of those questions during this time that we're together. So that's a little bit about me. There was some earth-shattering news. I don't want to date this recording too much, but that happened here just in the last day that HarperCollins, which is a part of News Corp, announced that they are purchasing Thomas Nelson Publishers, the largest Christian publishing house, and that transaction is going to happen by the end of the year. It came out of nowhere. The rank and file at Thomas Nelson didn't know about it till about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, from what I understand. So what does it mean? None of us know. We know that something is going to shift out there, and that's a continual part of publishing. Things are always changing. Editors are moving. New editors are coming in. New publications are starting. Publications are closing, merging. It's just a part and parcel for this business. And the thing that, about this news with Nelson that nobody knows is that HarperCollins already owns one big publishing arm called Zondervan, and now they're going to own the other, another big competitive piece called Thomas Nelson. So no one really knows what it means, but for many different types of projects, those two publishers compete for the same project, the same authors, that type of thing. So it's going to change out there. And when it comes to change, which is a constant in this business, I wanted to start with this, is there's several ways to handle it. You can panic. You can throw up your hands and you can leave it and say, I'm not going to be involved in this. Or you can see change as an opportunity, and that's the way I would encourage you to see it, is that there is an opportunity for each of us with that change. They're going to be looking for new authors. They're going to be looking for different kinds of material, and you can be a part of that, and you can be a part of the solution if you get out there and do that. So I really encourage each of you, as you look at your writing lives here, to figure out how in the world you can diversify. Maybe you've been focused on writing a novel for the last year, last several years. Maybe you've been focused on writing a nonfiction book. Maybe you're focused on a children's book or magazine articles. What I would encourage you to do is to look at different aspects of your writing in different ways and really diversify, because if you've put all your eggs in one basket, in the basket of that novel, then you've put yourself basically in a situation of risk, is the way I look at it. You haven't diversified enough. So I would encourage you to start something new, start a blog, start blogging, start working on social media like Twitter and Facebook. Build that platform and be writing things for online if you're only focused on your novel. And if you're focused on your nonfiction, you should be writing for printed magazines. And then when some change happens out there, some earth-shattering thing like what happened yesterday with HarperCollins announcing that they're buying Thomas Nelson, you'll be positioned much better than if you just focused on one thing. Now, there's some great value, don't get me wrong, to being a specialist in a particular niche and in a particular type of writing. But I think there's also great value to being diverse. And so I just encourage you in that direction. The other thing that I really want to foster and encourage you about tonight, no matter what, there's all kinds of questions that I have heard, but the other kinds of area is to really work on building your relationships. John Kramer, my friend that wrote 1001 Ways to Market Your Book, a huge book. If you don't have that book, get that book, and you'll learn a lot from John Kramer. He's got bookmarketing.com is his website and has a lot of information about the markets out there. But John always talks about how selling books or selling your magazine articles or anything is all about relationships. It's all about building those relationships. And you never know when those relationships are going to come into play and be important to you. So work at that. Build them through email, build them through LinkedIn, build them through going to the writers' conferences, build them on the phone, build them through your writing. Those relationships will pay off in spades as time goes on. If you're not on LinkedIn, figure out what that is. That's more of a business-to-business kind of connection, but there's some wonderful kinds of connections that are happening on LinkedIn, and through that, if you have a connection with someone through LinkedIn, you have a direct email line to that particular editor, to that particular person. If they change publishing houses, if they leave the house, if they become an agent, you're still connected to them. You've built a relationship. So I encourage you, no matter where you are in the publishing process listening to me tonight, to work very hard at building those relationships day in and day out. It's a practice that I've made over the last 20, 25 years of my life. I'm very committed to these kinds of events tonight, like this free teleseminar, where I'm giving out information. I'm also committed to answering my phone, returning phone calls, answering emails. If you email me, you'll likely hear from me because I'm very committed to trying to answer my email and my questions that I get from people. One of the things that I'm hoping tonight as I answer these diverse questions, and I've got over 80 questions from people, all kinds of material that I'm going to try to go through here, and I've got it organized so that it'll have some sense of logic to it. But I'm hoping that tonight, as you listen to me talk and answer other people's questions and your question, that there'll be what I call a pack your bag moment here, where during this 70 minutes that we have together, that there's going to be some nugget of information, and probably I won't even know what it is, but something that's going to be a pack-your-bag moment where the entire 60 minutes is going to be worth it because of that nugget of information that you got from me. So I'm going to tell my stories. I encourage you to get a piece of paper, write down some information if you'd like to, or just simply listen to this. We're recording it, so you'll be able to listen to it again and again on your computer. You can download it, play it on your iPod. I will send the recording out to everybody that's registered. And I'm just grateful for all your questions here and glad to have this opportunity to speak to you about these different matters. Now, the way I've tried to organize this is I've gotten a lot of questions in different categories, and the first category that people are always asking about is this whole agent question. Do you need a literary agent? Do you have to have a literary agent? How can I get a literary agent? And they're all good questions. You hear about these literary agents and what wonderful things they're doing for people. And so you want to have an agent too. I can't blame you. So, but there's a caveat with getting an agent here. For example, Rita asks, how do you find an agent for children's books? Good question. There are very few agents for children's books. I happen to know about this because I've published more than a dozen children's books, and I used to be an instructor for the Institute of Children's Literature. And I was a literary agent for a couple of years. When I was an acquisitions editor, I did acquire some children's books, and children's books traditionally have very small advances. For one thing, there's a lot of competition. Everybody figures they can write a children's book, that it's simple. It's not. You have to know exactly what you're doing, what age group you're writing for, really study the market, and really study the books if you're going to start to get your work out there. But it's hard for any children's author to find an agent because there aren't very many agents for children's books. And here's the reality. If you're a literary agent, you make your money on the selling people's books to publishers and earning a percentage of their advance and then their earnings, right? So typically you don't get money up front. You just make it a commission on selling their book. Typically 15% of domestic, 20% of foreign rights is typically what an agent would get. So you be the agent for a minute. If you're going to take on a first-time author and you're going to sell that book to a publishing house, which would you rather do? Would you rather sell it to a publisher where you get a $5,000 to $10,000 advance, which would probably be typical for a first-time author, or would you rather get a $500 or $1,000 advance, or maybe $2,000 for a children's book? Where are you going to spend your time? Are you going to spend your time with those children's books, or where you're getting much smaller advances, or are you going to spend it with adult books? So you can see why, as an agent, it's very hard. Now, there are some children's agents. Don't get me wrong. I met a children's agent from San Francisco when I was at the Tucson Festival of Books earlier this year. And so there are a number of them that are out there. You just have to look very hard to find those children's agents. Study their websites. See what kinds of things they acquire. And it's all in the pitch to these agents. So one of the best ways to get an agent is to have a great pitch, a great proposal, a great title, a great idea. It's not easy. You can't just whip that stuff out. You've got to pull that together and do that. A lot of my agent friends get thousands of pitches during a year. Some of them get 100 pitches a day through email and over the transom. So you have to really have a good one and work at it very hard. Ruth asked, how do I get through the screening process to convince an agent or publisher to spend their money publishing my book? And that's the route that you're going when you're looking for an agent. You're looking for a traditional book deal where the publisher is going to pay you money, maybe not too much money, but some money to publish the book in advance. They're going to print the book. They're going to do all the editorial work. They're going to control things for that. They're going to control the title. They're going to control the editing, the look of your book, whether it's paperback, hardcover, all those kinds of things. But you have to pitch it in the very best possible way. So practice your pitch. That's what I would advise you to do. Learn what that process is. I'm always reading about my craft. I'm constantly learning from books, magazine articles, articles online. Do the same. You can get these different books. For example, in the whole proposal area, one of the things that I recommend is that you really do have a good proposal. And I have this course that I've taught called writeabookproposal.com. It's a 12-lesson online course to teach you step-by-step how in the world to do this proposal. And it's true with fiction, nonfiction, it's true with children's books. Everybody needs a great pitch. And Jim asked, really, is having an agent necessary? It's not necessary. There's a lot of publishing houses that still take over the transom work. More and more are requiring agents because they trust these agents. And I know when I was an acquisitions editor, there were certain agents that I would always look at their stuff right away because they were top agents. They always delivered top material to me that was really great. So agents sort of become the first screening kind of device for authors. And so if you can find some agent that would be interested in your material, that would be a good thing because they know how to get it out to the publishing house. They would hopefully work with you on your proposal, be able to get your pitch in the best possible shape. Linda asked a good question. She says, how do you get a publisher agent to look at your manuscript when virtually all the houses have no solicitation manuscript acknowledged policy? One of the ways you get them to look at your material is to meet them. And I mean, get to a writer's conference where they are. Have a good pitch when you go there. In other words, really know as much as you can about that agent so that you can really target the kind of book and the kind of idea that they're looking for. It takes a little research, but you can do that easily online. You can see what kind of books they acquire. You can Google their name. You can look at their website. There's a lot of valuable things that you can do ahead of time in order to snag that agent that you want to. So, you know, we've got some good questions there about agents. The proposal is a key mechanism that's used in the whole pitching process. And that's why I devoted so much time and energy to this Write a Book Proposal course that I did to help you be able to craft your proposal in the best possible way. I did a book as well called Book Proposals That Sell, 21 Secrets to Speed Your Success. If you look online at Amazon, I think I have 100 five-star reviews for that book. And it's been really well received, that particular book out there, and many people have said they used it in order to get their book publishing deal. I'm very, very gratified about that. But it's important to have a good proposal. And one of the things that you'll learn by doing your book proposal, whether you've done one or not, is you learn about yourself through creating that proposal, because you have to really detail who's your target audience, who are you going to reach, how are you going to reach those people, what's your plan, why you, of anybody, should publish this book. You detail about your book, what's your title, what's your alternative title ideas, what's in each chapter. You write the first few chapters of the book, and it's a very process kind of procedure that you go through in order to get your proposal together, and can really help you whether you ultimately self-publish the book or whether you publish with a traditional publisher. That whole proposal process, creation process, is very important and something that I really do encourage every person to do, whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction or children's book or whatever it is you're writing. You know, I've got way too many questions tonight that I'll ever be able to answer. Hopefully you got the free ebook that I offered everybody listening to this call, To Follow the Characteristics of Success. That's a chapter from my Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams book that I have. But tonight, what I'm really offering you is the opportunity to get my new audio that I've done called Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams Audio Workshop. It's about an hour and a half. Now, if you're listening to this on the live telewebcast, you'll see that there's a red and green button when you put your mouse over it that's right below my book cover of Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams. And if you click that, that'll take you, open up a window and take you over to Jumpstart Dreams Audio. And that's where I have this CD. This is almost an hour and a half of my teaching of about a dozen different ways that you can jumpstart your publishing dreams. It's an audio CD product that you can stick in your car, or you can listen to it in your CD player. I poured a lot of work and energy into this product. It comes with bonuses and reasonably priced at $14.95. So I encourage you to get this, listen to it a number of times, and gain all the information that's there. I've got an outline. I've got a handout. All kinds of information comes with this CD, Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams Audio Workshop. Okay, back to your questions here. I'm going to focus for a minute here on a little bit more on proposals. Andrea asks, what's the next step do you recommend to writers whose book proposals have been rejected? Well, Andrea, if that's your situation, I'm sorry about that for one thing, but what I do recommend is that you get in a critique group, whether it's online or whether it's face-to-face. For many years, I was in a critique group. There were four of us. We met once a month. And we had breakfast together for an hour, focused 15 minutes on each of our manuscripts. So look for somebody of like-minded. Maybe it's just one other writer that you get with and you swap material back and forth. But it sounds to me like you really need some feedback from somebody. If your proposal is getting rejected out there, something that you're doing isn't connecting. So I really encourage you to get in a critique group or get in some sort of group where you can get feedback from people. And you don't have to pay for it. You know, it can be free, and it can be something that you can actually do. So that's my big hint when it comes to that. You know, Wanza wants to know, how do I make my proposal stand out? Well, the best way to make your proposal stand out is to send that to the right person. And you do that by research to know what kinds of books the agent is looking for. Every agent is different. Some agents acquire mostly nonfiction. Some agents acquire a mixture of nonfiction and fiction. Some agents only specialize in African-American material. Some people specialize in fantasy, science fiction. Some agents specialize in romance, some in horror. So you need to figure out what that person does and make sure that your pitch to that person is the right pitch. So that's one of the best key things that I can do when it comes to proposals. Sharon asked, with so many requests coming in, can you tell me what catches your eye? What makes you really decide to read a proposal? In other words, how do you tell this is the one? Well, there is something about reading thousands of proposals, as I have, that you can read just a few pages of one and recognize really solid writing from it. So that's one hint that I would give you, is to have a really great title. A lot of authors guard their titles, but I encourage you to get out there and be testing your title with others. See if your title works. You can't copyright a title, so make sure that you've got a really good title on your proposal. That'll help you. And also, test your material. Test it with your critique group. Test it with other people. You know, get outside of your family members who love your stuff no matter what you give them, and get somebody that will give you some really honest feedback about it. And really get your proposal tested before you send it out. That'll be a big help to you when you do that kind of thing. So that's in this proposal area. You know, there's a bunch of questions that I have here about the whole self-publishing area. And I will tell you, that's the area that I've been in for the last 3 years here. I encourage my authors not to call it self-publishing, because I do not consider it self-publishing. The quality and the caliber of the type of books that we do at Intermediate Publishing Group is comparable to anything that Simon & Schuster or Hachette or Random House or any of these other companies out there are doing, in my view. And one of the examples that I would give you about that, the kinds of books that we've done, is a book that I did about a year and a half ago called The Healing Code by Alex Lloyd and Ben Johnson. Now, it was a 320-page hardcover book. These guys mounted an Amazon bestseller campaign, which means they got everybody to buy the book on the same day. They promoted it. You get bonuses. Amazon changes their numbers every hour. So they pushed the book way up on Amazon through heavy promotion during one single day and actually got the book to number 3 on Amazon. There were 2 novels up above it, so it was a leading nonfiction book on Amazon. Now, during the about a year that we had this book, we sold about 30,000 copies of the hardcover, about 50,000 copies of the ebook version of this book. Got a lot of attention from book buyers and different people. Actually garnered the attention of a major literary agent in Northern California who shopped the book to the big 5 publishers in New York. They got offers from all 5. This is a first-time author here. They got a 6-figure offer from Hachette, the old-time Warner company. And about 6 months ago, The Healing Code moved from Intermedia to Grand Central, which is the publisher of James Patterson's book, 70 Million Novels, but they do nonfiction as well. And the thing that I like when I see this book in the bookstore is that it looks exactly like the book that we published at Intermedia. Why? Because they used our production files. This is a question that if you're going to self-publish, you need to ask the company that you're going to do it with. There is an entity out there that did 20,000 titles last year. And if you ask them who owns the production files, they'll say, we do. That's our intellectual property. At Intermedia, we have a philosophy that the author owns everything, even the production files. Our logic behind that is that if you pay us to typeset your book, which you do at the end of the day, you should own that material. So if your book does get picked up by a mainstream publisher, you could give them those production files and they could use those files rather than having to retypeset your book and redo all that work. And my case in point is this book that we did called The Healing Code. So self-publishing used to be bad. It's a way to go. It's a way to build your platform if you want to invest in yourself and go that direction. I call what we do not self-publishing. I call it a hybrid. It's an independent publishing because we're kind of between pure self-publishing, as I call it, is when you do a book with a company where you just upload the files to them, put your credit card in there, and get a bunch of books. I had a bookkeeper that was at my CPA's office that did a novel, and my CPA called this bookkeeper in, and I looked at her novel. I opened it up, and it started on page 1. No front matter, no title page, copyright page, none of the stuff that's in the front of a novel. Just started with page 1, chapter 1. And then I got looking at it a little closer. The entire book was in italics. And I didn't even know what to say to this woman that was sitting right in front of me. It's like, oh, it's a book. Instead, I'm thinking, wow, how many of these did you buy? And she said, oh, I only ordered 100 of them. Well, she ordered 100 pieces of, you know, bad stuff is the way I looked at it, because she didn't get any help. She just uploaded it there, and there it was. At Intermedia, we really help people soup to nuts to get your book done, and done in the right kind of way. We have a one-time fee of $4,000 that we charge people, and what you get for that is we edit the book, go through it very carefully about 3 times. We design custom covers. We also make the book in the top 14 ebook formats. It's available on the Amazon Kindle, the Sony Reader, the iPhone, the iPad, the Nook, the Kindle, all those different gizmos out there. And we have distribution for those books through Apple and iTunes and BarnesandNobles.com. That's how we were able to sell 50,000 copies of the ebook of the 50 of the Healing Code book that I was telling you about. We also distribute the physical book through the book to the bookstores. We also market every book. We have a database of 35 million email addresses that we market every book to. We have 10,000 privately labeled online bookstores that we control. And we also know that authors sell books at events. We do about 200 events a year around the country, invite you to come, get in free, network with people, sell books. We were at the Tucson Festival of Books earlier this year, for example. There were 80 to 100,000 people at that event. We had a booth there. We'll be having a booth next year. And so that's your opportunity through us. We help you build your platform. And that's about how much it costs. The books, just to give you an idea, the printing is in addition to the $4,000. We have print on demand. There's no minimum there. I have authors that order their books, 100 books at a time. Now, the way our printing works, just so you understand in a nutshell here, is we give you the printing at our cost. Let's say you go print on demand, and your book is about a 200-page paperback book. The actual cost of that book is about $5 a book. Now, under our system, you set the retail price. That's the author-centric side of what we do at Intermedia. You set the retail price. Typically, a 200-page book you could sell for $14.99, $15 would be a fair price. So if you sell the book, you make 100% of that money. If we sell the book on our side, we take 30% and send you 70%. So we have skin in the game. We have motivation to sell your books because we make 30% every time we do that. Printing is scalable, so the more books you buy, the cheaper they are. So if you went offset printing, bought 1,000 books, for example, then the price of the book would drop to being between $3 and $4 a book instead of being $5 a book, but you'd have a greater investment in the printing. Because if you bought 1,000 books at $3 a book, you've put another $3,000 into the self-publishing process there. Our typical author has to sell about 500 books to get their initial investment back, and most of our authors do that in about the first 6 months. So we have a great program. The thing that I would caution you about in self-publishing, if you're going to go this direction of paying to get your book out there, that's okay. You just need to be wise about the way you do it. Some of these outfits, this entity that I'm telling you about that did 20,000 titles last year, what they do is they set the retail price, and then they turn and say, okay, author, you can buy your books at 60% off the retail price. Well, I've talked to a number of authors who have a 122-page book, a little skinny book that is priced at $17.95. It's overpriced. And it's because this particular company makes their money printing books. So they want to set that retail price as high as they can get away with, and the author has no control, no say over that at all. So you have to look at all the pros and cons if you're going to self-publish your book. If you're going to self-publish, that's okay, but you have to take on the marketing responsibility and realize that you're going to get very little help from some of these entities out there. Now, one of the things we can do for you at Intermedia, and I'd love to talk to you about this, is we can help you market and distribute your self-published book. We have a whole program for that, and if you're interested in that and you're listening to this teleseminar, you have my email address, terry@terrywhalen.com, or you can email me at twhalen, T-W-H-A-L-I-N, at intermediapub.com. And I'd be happy to help you, talk to you about your book and see what we could do there. So lots of questions about self-publishing. It used to have a real negative stigma out there, but it has less of a stigma. It just depends on how you do it to get it out there would be the thing that I would tell you. Okay, I'm looking at your questions here. You know, Sam has got a really good question. He says, Terry, is it normal to have a deep fear about going forth with my book proposal? If so, how do I overcome it? He said he was a bomb squad commander for 5 years and never felt fear like this. It's stifling to me. Sam, years ago, I was sitting with some very experienced writers at a writer's conference late at night, and we were all talking together, and each of these writers told me that every time they start a book, they feel that fear. And I think it's par and parcel with this business. It comes with the territory. You know, as many books as I've written over 60 books. Every time I start a project, the voices raise up within me saying, you can't do it. I don't know if I'll be able to. How will I start? And I tell people, writing books is just like eating an elephant. You just do it one bite at a time. So you do it one page at a time, one chapter at a time. And there's something about that consistency of sitting down there writing and getting it done and having small goals. Say, okay, I'm going to write 250 words today. I'm going to write 1,000 words today. I'm going to write 3,000 words today. Whatever your goal is, however many pages you can write, and consistently doing that, and that'll help you conquer that fear and go ahead and move forward. You can do it. I believe you can do it. You just need to take the bull by the horns and totally go for it. So I hope I've helped you with that particular question. You know, Deb is asking here, let's move to books now, and nonfiction books in particular. Deb is asking, what's the best approach for publishing a nonfiction book when traditional publishers are looking for authors with large media platforms? Could I comment on ebooks versus self-publishing? Yes. There is a possibility of doing ebooks. You can, even through our system at Intermedia, you could do your book as an ebook first, and then when you're ready, when you have the wherewithal, come back and do the printed book. That is a perfectly acceptable way to get your book out there and get it out there around the world through the ebook format. As long as your book is good when it gets out there, and I would say the foundation of every single book is a good manuscript. Now, that means that you've tested it. You've tested your material. You're telling stories. You're working on your writing. It's kind of foundational for each of these books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, is to really do the best writing that you can. And one of the ways that you can learn to write, if you don't have any idea how to tell stories or how to put articles or anything together, is to write for the magazine market. So many writers overlook the short form. They're focused on an 80,000 word novel or a 40,000 word book when you could be really productive writing a 1,500 word magazine article or a 500 word magazine article. It's a short turn. You know, you have to grab people's attention with that first sentence. You have to have a really great title, tell a little story, tell a point, and you're done. Boom. Get it out there. It'll help you. It'll help you get exposure to the marketplace. It'll really open up new doors for your writing. And there's a lot of opportunity. There's tons of magazines out there that are looking for really great material, but you have to write it. You have to sit down there and do it and get it out. You know, George is asking, how do you find the right publisher? He's looking for a publisher for his second book and wants to get it listed with Ingram, Spring Arbor. He's found some publishers, but fees and paying $8 to $9 for his own book, volume rates is ridiculous. I agree, that's too high. You shouldn't have to pay that, George. There should be a way to get your book for a lower amount and to have the distribution, because at Intermedia, we sell books to Spring Arbor and Ingram's and all those places to the different distributors all the time. It's a matter of making the right connection and looking for it. Teresa asked, is it very costly to become a writer? I know I have a good story, but what would make my story stand out and affect the lives of other people? Sometimes it's really hard to get it out, what you're trying to say, and how does it work? I guess the best thing I would encourage you to do, Teresa, is to look at your story and see if you could tell some personal experience stories that would become magazine articles. That would give you some really great publishing experience and would really help move you ahead, propel you forward to get your work into print and get it out there. Normally when you publish in magazines, you sell first rights to your material, which means that after it's printed, those rights return to you, and you can use them as reprints. You could sell them to another publication. They could become a chapter of a book. There's a lot of different ways that you can look at your material, but you have to write it and get it out there. That's really what I would encourage you to do. You know, I've got way more questions tonight than I'll ever be able to answer, but I really do encourage each of you, if you're listening to me tonight, to pick up a copy of this Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams audio workshop. I give more than a dozen different ways to get your book, work published, not just your book, but get your work published through my workshop. It's a live workshop that I did, almost an hour and a half of material, and there's bonus material that I included with this. So I'd encourage you to push the button and get over there to get it. It comes with bonuses. I've got 5 bonus gifts that come with the CD. You get the MP3 in addition to the CD if you buy the CD, or you could just get the MP3 product. Comes with a bonus teleseminar about 2 literary attorneys answering questions. It comes with a sample chapter of their book. It comes with a 75-minute interview where I talk about the difference between self-publishing and traditional publishing. It comes with a 30-minute MP3 where I talk about how to get your book published. A lot of information with a little amount of value, or with a little cost, I guess, is what I'd say for the CD. I've priced it at $14.95 plus the postage. But if you're wondering about how to jumpstart your publishing dreams and look for some new ideas, I would just encourage you to get this. Okay, let's go back to your questions here. Mary Lou asks, is self-publishing the right thing to do for your first book? If so, what's the total investment? So it's an okay thing to self-publish. There's no right or wrong answers here is the way I look at these questions out here. There are wise and unwise things to do, I guess. There are some unwise things that I would not do. I mean, I've seen some people self-publish material that just looks awful. So carefully look at whatever company it is that you're going to go with. How long have they been around? What kind of rights do they take? Does the author own everything? Some of these outfits lock your rights up for 7 years. You have to be with them for 7 years. That's one of the known entities out there in the self-publishing area. Google their name. See what you find when you use Google. See what people are saying about it. Talk to some of their authors. For example, at Intermedia, I have a novel that we're bringing out next month, or later this month, we're in November now, from Bodie and Brock Taney called Icon. They've published 35 million novels, and we're publishing their next novel this month. So that's a validation of us and who we are and the kinds of material that we're doing at Intermedia. We're not doing just all first-time authors. We're doing some very experienced authors like that. So really do look at all that, the variables of these companies that you're going to. So self-publishing is an okay option. You know, Elizabeth asked too, do you recommend self-publishing? Query to a publisher, ebook publishing for first-time authors. I think it's okay. Any of those options are fine. It all depends on you and what you want to do and how you want to get your book out there, but just make sure that you're really producing a quality product at the end of the day. Kenneth is asking, is there much demand? He's really talking about the kinds of writing he wants to do is really more biblical doctrinal principles. He studied Bible doctrine, taught in the original languages almost daily for 30 years. Yes, right, you could write articles, but he's asking, is there much demand for those kinds of articles? You know, there's all different kinds of publications out there, Kenneth, that's what I'd say, and I would just look at your own magazines. What kind of magazines do you read yourself? Those would be the magazines that I would encourage you to write for. Look at those magazines, read those magazines. If you don't have the magazine, get to a library, get to a seminary library, depending on what kind of magazine you're looking for. Read a whole bunch of the back issues, get up to speed as far as how the publication works, what kind of things they take, and really do focus on that editor and what kinds of things they're looking for, and you'll be surprised. There is opportunity out there for all different kinds of writing, academic writing, doctrinal writing. You just have to find the right publication for your material. And just enter into that search with joy, and I'm sure that you'll be able to find what it is that you're looking for. You know, Marion asked, what are the guidelines that you use when you quote a line or drawing from another person's intellectual property for your book? That's a good question, Marion. What I would say to you first is that I'm not an attorney. My literary attorney always likes me to say that. But, you know, there's this whole fair use thing. So if you quote a sentence or two out of a full length book, and as long as you quote the person, you're not plagiarizing, but as long as you give them credit for their words and their work, that's basically promotion of that author's work. That's not, you know, there's not anything wrong with that. So you can quote that person. You don't need permission. I always tell people when it comes to permissions, when I worked at the publishing house, the person did permissions also did the royalties and contracts. So you can imagine the bulk of their time was consumed with royalties and contracts, not permissions. Permissions was like way down on the totem pole of stuff that they did in terms of their priorities. So it takes forever often to get permission from a publisher, and often you don't need it. If you're going to just quote a sentence or two, just quote a sentence or two and give them the attribution and document where it came from, and then you'll be fine. You know, I have a ton of questions here, and I'm going through them here. You know, Steve asked, he's about to begin writing a biography. The woman has an incredible story to tell. In a situation like this, where the author tells someone else's story, how do you propose up front to split the revenues? It's her story and my writing. How do you split the dollars? Good question, Steve. There is no right or wrong answer to this. Sometimes the writer gets paid more. Sometimes the writer gets paid less. Sometimes it's a 50-50 split. But you're well-advised, and again, I'm not an attorney, but you're well-advised to figure out all those answers and how you're going to do that ahead of time, before there's any contract or any money on the table from a publisher. You need to have what they call a collaboration agreement. It could be a simple document between you and this woman. It describes what the duties are. She's going to provide the information. She's going to review your writing in a timely fashion, give you feedback. She's going to give you access to her. You're going to perform in a timely fashion. Who's going to market the work? Is it you as the writer? Is she going to do that? At the end of the day, who's going to own the work? you're going to own the copyright? You're going to share the copyright? What's going to happen there? All those questions got to be figured out ahead of time. And that's part of what you do in a collaboration agreement with that person. And you bring that with you to the table when you publish. Whether it's a traditional publisher, whether it's a self-publisher, you have to work out all those kinds of arrangements. And there's lots of ways to get that information. And I encourage you very much to do that kind of thing ahead of time. Okay. Someone asked me here what I think about ChristianWritingSubmission.com. There's the Writer's Edge. There's ChristianWritingSubmission.com. I will tell you, when I was acquisitions editor, I never acquired a single manuscript from that. I have heard of people that have been discovered in those systems. So it's a choice, I guess is what I'd say. But as an acquisitions editor, I did not find it very useful, is what I would say, when I was doing acquisitions for a publishing house. April asked, where do I get help publishing a gift book? Most conferences devote time and topic to only fiction and nonfiction. Gift books, April, are in a different category. They are primarily done by packagers. What I would encourage you to do, April, is go to my blog. I have a blog, The Writing Life, which has about 1,000 searchable entries. There's a search feature on the right-hand side. If you scroll down, you can just search the blog itself. It's at www.thewritinglife.ws. That's my blog on The Writing Life. And go down and search for the word packager, P-A-C-K-A-G-E-R. I've written several blog posts about this, and often what writers don't realize is that the gift book track is a whole different way of publishing that's out there. If you're interested in gift books, maybe you've never thought about doing a gift book, but many of those are produced by packagers. It's a great business thing to do. I did a couple of books a while back. I did Lighthouse Psalms and Love Psalms. I wrote 60 psalms, 60 devotions about love. I wrote 60 devotions about light and darkness out of the Psalms. I picked some Psalms. Each of those projects took me about a month to do those, and I think I made about $5,000 a book. Now, those are all rights, so, you know, they work for hire. But here's the beautiful thing. Each of those books sold about 60,000 copies. So that was really a great writing credit that I got out of doing those couple of books. And they're beautiful, they're full color, they got all kinds of layout. They don't have my name on the cover. If you're looking for a book with your name on your cover, I don't know that you want to be working in gift books, but because people don't purchase those books because of the author, particularly if you're unknown or first-time author, they purchase them because of the topic and the design and the information that's inside of them. So they're driven by something different than just the author's name. So you have to figure out, work through all those issues and figure out if you're okay with that. If you are, hey, it's work, and there's lots of work out there in this particular area, and so I would encourage you to do that. You know, Carol asked a really interesting question here. She'd like to write a memoir about her experiences as a literacy person in the Peru's jungle. Her target audience may be small, but is there a market for such a book? Absolutely, there is such a book market for that, Carol. And, you know, memoir continues to be a hot kind of topic out there. It's all about how you write the memoir and how you write that material. And so I encourage you to really look at the whole category of memoir. I did a book a while back with a friend of mine from my days at Wycliffe Bible Translators that did a book about Bolivia called When God Came Down. It's a beautiful book, a great writing that she did about her experiences in Bolivia. So absolutely, it can be done, and it can be a very successful kind of venture for you. It's all a matter of writing it and getting it out together and getting it into the market. Memoir is a very, like I say, a very explosive, attractive field in the writing field out there. Jeanette Wall wrote a book called The Glass Castle, which is an amazing book. Check into the library, get that book, track it down if you really are interested in the whole memoir area. Janice asked, will a book publisher consider publishing a manuscript that was previously published as a magazine article? Well, it depends on what rights you sold to that magazine. Did you sell first rights or did you sell all rights? That's really a question that's involved with as the answer. I have a question back to you from your question to me, Janice. So that is something that you really need to look into. But yes, foundationally, you can take a series of magazine articles and make it become chapters in a book. If you write on the same topic, I have a number of friends, writer friends, who have published their material in magazines. They've only sold first rights, and so they've grouped those materials together, and they've repurposed those material as a book. It can absolutely happen if you do it like that. So, but you have to have a strategy and a plan when you do that kind of thing. So hopefully I've helped you on those kinds of questions here. You know, we have a lot of questions here. I'm just scanning down through and making sure that I've answered them. Steve is asking, what specific techniques do you employ when querying more scholarly publications like Christianity Today, Christian History, Christian Research Journal? I guess what I would encourage you to do, Stephen, is to show the editor when you query those publications that you indeed have read those publications, that you're intimately familiar with them. See what kind of things they're doing. Can you break in to those publications with something small? Is there a smaller piece that you could do for those publications that would get you on the radar of those particular editors so that you start to build that relationship where you have an inside track with that person? And all of us in the publishing community, we work with people that we've worked with before, and so we return to people that we have a relationship with. So you want to work on building that relationship with editors at Christianity Today, Christian History, and Christian Research Journal, if those are the publications that you want to write for. See what their needs are. What kind of writer's guidelines do they have online? What are their writing needs? How can you be someone that would meet those needs? And absolutely, they have a magazine to fill every month, and they're all looking for quality writers. And that's the message that I would give you tonight, too, is, sure, you may get the message of rejection, that all our needs are met, that we're not taking on any new clients. I say baloney to that, you know, because what I will tell you is I've sat in some of the top literary agencies in this country. I've sat with the agents, I've sat with the editors in their offices in New York, and every single one of these people are looking. They're actively looking for the next Joel Osteen, the next Bruce Wilkinson, The Prayer of Jabez, the next Left Behind book that's going to bang out the door. Nobody could have predicted that Left Behind was going to sell 63 million novels or whatever it sold. Even the publisher themselves didn't realize that it was going to happen. They had no foreknowledge of that. Jerry Jenkins tells the story, he's a friend of mine, that when they printed that first press run of the Left Behind book, they only printed half the jackets that they needed for the books, because it was a big risk back then to print a hardcover jacketed novel in the Christian fiction market, they didn't know whether it was going to go or not, and so they didn't want to invest money that they weren't going to get back. It just shows you that there is no guarantees in this business, but what you can do is continue to take risks, continue to diversify, continue to knock on different doors with your writing, whether it's fiction, whether it's nonfiction, whether it's poetry, whether it's nonfiction articles, whether it's things you're writing online, whether it's children's books. It's a big world out there. There's lots of opportunity. You just have to be on the move and knocking on those doors in order to find those opportunities for you. I believe they're out there for you. So just be actively looking all the time, and those doors will open if you knock on them enough. Okay, I'm going to go back to your questions here. You know, Ann asked, I read a lot of inspirational true stories. I'm really tired of trying to find markets for them. It takes so much time. Would it be worthwhile to put them in a book, possibly like a memoir? Absolutely, Ann. You could weave those together into a book if you have a theme for those. Can you organize them into themes? You know, how do you take those stories and organize them into sections? I think that's a good idea. Write a book proposal, write a really great book proposal, and get it out there. Sheila asked, do publishers require authors to sign over the rights to their book? If so, can an author still repurpose, create a course, continuity course, audiobook? Do publishers give skimpy advances and low royalties to new authors? It depends. It all depends on your book. Like I told you about the Healing Code book, they got a six-figure advance for that book. So it just all depends on the book and the topic. Health books are very hot right now, and so there's a lot of health issues that people have out there, and so they were able to get a large advance for that book. Normally, publishers do take a lot of rights when they take your book. A typical full-length book contract from somewhere like Simon & Schuster is about 18-20 pages of legalese. Very complicated, not very easy to understand. You need to get a literary attorney or somebody else to help you to sort through all that and understand all the legalese that's there. But, hey, they're going to pay you to write the book. So if you're going that route, that's the way you're going. It is possible, the traditional market, and I'm very, every day I receive emails from Publisher's Lunch. I'm on the paid version of Publisher's Lunch, and every day almost I receive emails of deals that have been done. So agents are still selling books, people. They're still placing books with traditional publishers. There's still advances that are still being done out there. So it's not an impossibility. It's a matter of getting your material to the right person at the right place at the right time with the right idea. Now, there's a lot of rights that have to line up there. But if you're out there looking for the open door, it is out there for you. You have to believe in yourself and believe in your writing and find the right place for that to happen. Again, tonight I've been telling you, answering your questions, but one of the best resources that I can give you that I've really priced quite reasonably is to get a copy of this Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams audio workshop. Get the CD version. It includes the MP3 version. And you'll be able to pop it in your CD player in your car and listen to it and, you know, follow along, get different ideas, re-listen to the material. It'll be a valuable resource for you. You know, Jeannie asked, is it true that most authors now must do their own publicity and promotion, even if published by a major publisher? You know, I have heard the horror stories from every single type of author, whether they've been published by Simon & Schuster or Podunk Press. Every author feels like their publisher should do more for them. The reality is authors have to work at building their own presence in the marketplace, whether it's blogging, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's through a newsletter. You have to have that audience that you regularly communicate with in order to build your presence in the marketplace. It takes time. It takes focus time. It doesn't have to focus so much of your attention away from your writing, but you have to be committed to doing it all the time and doing it on a consistent basis. Barbara asks, is traditional publishing with a New York publisher a viable option these days? Absolutely. The New York houses are still looking for authors. The New York agents are still looking for authors, but they're looking for quality people that can put together their material in the best possible way. So it's the writing, it's the pitch, that's what's going to make it stand out. You know, Elaine asked, will big box stores, for example, Barnes & Noble, stock self-published books? It's a mixed bag, Elaine. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. It just depends on that publisher and their reach into those big box stores. So I'm coming up toward my 70-minute mark here, but I want to really answer just a few more questions, see if I can get them in. You know, Sandra asked, I want to write for different audiences, beginning readers, inspirational, mystery, literary studies. Is there a 1, 2, 3 type of list where to start, how to proceed for these types of writing? I guess what I would encourage you to do, Sandra, is pick a direction and head in that direction, but also diversify. So if you want to write for beginning readers, absolutely write for beginning readers and write for some beginning readers magazines. Get involved in Society of Children's Book Writers. Really learn your craft there for writing for those people. If you want to write mysteries, get involved in some fiction writers groups and really pound out your material and test it in the marketplace to see if indeed you're going to be able to find an open door for your writing. You can go in a couple of different directions here. You don't have to be pigeonholed into one thing. I have been very diverse in my writing. I continue to write for magazines. I continue to write books. I'm publishing books now for other people. So you don't have to have it in one specific direction. But I do encourage you, just like I started here when I started this hour, to diversify your writing and really be headed down different trails. So then when there's earth-shattering news, when something happens out there in the publishing community, you're protected. You don't have all your eggs in one basket. I've always encouraged writers to develop their own independent source of income. Maybe you're launching a little ebook online and you're selling that. Maybe you're working with an independent publisher like Intermedia, but you're also working with a traditional publisher. It's not an either-or kind of thing. You have to just figure out your own path, get a lot of advice, and sort of listen to that inner spirit inside you and pray for direction and figure out which way you should go. But I think there's tons of opportunity out there. The magazine editors that I know are actively looking for publications. The agents are actively looking for the right material. The publishers are working every day to try to find the very best possible books that they can publish. It's a wide open door out there. You just have to be knocking on the doors, building those relationships day in and day out. Well, I have run through my time. If I haven't answered your question, I do apologize. There were just tons and tons of questions. A number of people had no questions on here. But hopefully I've sparked something during this time that's really given you the hope and the inspiration to proceed, because I believe that there's great opportunity out there. And so my wish for you today is that you be encouraged, you be disciplined about your writing, you be looking to build those relationships out there, and that Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams audio workshop will help you to be able to open up a new door for your writing and new opportunity for you to be published out there in the marketplace. So I have all good wishes for you and hopes and dreams for what lies ahead for you and your writing. So thank you very much for taking your time tonight to be with me. I'm delighted to have this chance to answer your questions. We'll do it again sometime soon. And I wish you all good night and all good wishes with your writing. This is Terry Whalen signing off. Good night.